Well, welcome back to 5 Minutes in Church History. Last week, we had Dr. Guy Richard, and we left him on our deserted island with his books, and we wanted to bring him back. So it's nice to see you again, Dr. Richard.
It's great to be back. Sunburned.
Yes. You look well-rested and ready to go. When we have folks visit our deserted island who have authored books like you have, we ask them to leave behind one of their books, and I'm guessing that you will leave behind The Supremacy of God in the Theology of Samuel Rutherford.
That would certainly be wonderful. That has been something I have lived with for many, many years. I feel like Rutherford is a house guest that I have lived with for 15 or so years.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, who is Samuel Rutherford? He's a 17th century British pastor, theologian. He's also written in the area of political science. So who is Samuel Rutherford?
Rutherford was a Scottish minister, 17th century. He was born around 1600. He pastored from about 1628 or so until about 1661 when he died. And he also served as professor of divinity at St. Andrew's University. He taught theology there. He was the principal of the college, St. Mary's, which was the divinity school at St. Andrew's, and also served as a co-pastor of the local church that was there in St. Andrew's. He was also one of the commissioners from the Scottish Church to the Westminster Assembly, helped in writing the Westminster Confession of Faith, shorter, larger catechisms, and the other documents that came out of that wonderful assembly.
Now, explain this for our folks. The Scottish ministers that were invited did not actually have voting rights, per se, in the standards, but they were invited there as consultants. Would you like to just explain that to us?
That is correct. They did not actually vote, but because of that, they served on every committee, and Rutherford spoke more than just about anyone in all of the discussions and debates. He contributed in every way. He was there longer than any other Scottish commissioner. He was thanked specifically for his diligent attention to the work of the assembly, and they commended him and sent him home with that commendation because he had served longer and more diligently than any of the other Scottish commissioners.
How about that? That's fascinating. I've heard you speak on Rutherford before, and we have this book on Rutherford that's called The Loveliness of Christ. You've referenced this.
It's certainly one of the things that really drew me to Rutherford to begin with, and one of the things that has kept me coming back to Rutherford, because he was a man who was quite sensitive to his own sin, a late convert, if you will, to Christianity, a Damascus Road conversion, and he, through a serious issue, failure, if you will, in his own life, came to faith in Christ, and I think he lived with a constant reminder of his sin and his failings, and so the cross meant everything to him. And so there was, especially if you read his letters, there was a passion that he had for Christ, an overwhelming delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing more delightful to Rutherford than the Savior of his sins.
This was not a hymn that Samuel Rutherford wrote, but there is a hymn that is, in fact, about Samuel Rutherford. Which hymn is that?
Now, The Sands of Time Are Sinking. A beautiful hymn drawn largely from the imagery of Rutherford's letters, and capitalizing on the imagery of the Song of Solomon and using that, as it was in Rutherford's case, and many of the Puritans would use that as a picture of salvation, the Christian life, and using that intimate, sensual language to look at how we should feel in our relationship towards Jesus.
Do you have a favorite line from that hymn?
I guess probably passages that I've referenced previously. I think the image of the wedding and the fact that the bride doesn't look down in her garments. She doesn't look around. Her eyes are fixed upon her bridegroom. It's a beautiful way of looking at our entrance into heaven, if you will, and all of the glory of heaven and all of the people in heaven and all of our righteousness will be nothing compared to our groom who is there waiting for us, and we will see him face to face.
Well, thank you, Dr. Richard, and we can say thank you to Samuel Rutherford.
It's great to be with you, Steve. Thank you.
I'm Steve Nichols. Thanks for joining us for 5 Minutes in Church History. Well, I have a moment here. Let's hear John Calvin on prayer. Words fail to explain how necessary prayer is and in how many ways the exercise of prayer is profitable. It is, therefore, by the benefit of prayer that we reach those riches which are laid up for us with our Heavenly Father.